1. The Larsons first read about the murders on a mid-September evening in Maggie's senior year of high school, the day they moved to Gill Creek. This was the first time it began to feel like something was looming near them, a little bit off on the horizon. It was also the first day Maggie saw Pauline Bowden. She was standing at the lake's edge and leaning against a boulder, as skinny as a stork, staring out at the water. "Someone your age," Maggie's mom crooned, pointing across the vast overgrown field that separated their house from the lake to the thin white figure on the bank. Maggie looked to her mom in exasperation. They were both out of breath and lugging their suitcases across the yard. But even so, her mom hadn't given up her relentless mission to point out the positives. Maggie dropped her box of linens in front of the porch stairs and surveyed their new house, thinking her mother had her mission cut out for her. Her uncle had described the property, which they'd inherited years ago, as rustic. In pictures, it had looked run down. In person, it was closer to ramshackle or derelict. They'd never even bothered to come look at it, always planning to sell it when they got around to it. But things had been different then. Maggie stood with her hands on her hips and tried to catch her breath, sweat dripping down her temples. They'd already lugged a bunch of boxes onto the front porch, but they hadn't even started on the furniture in the U-Haul yet. They couldn't afford movers, so she tried to look like she didn't mind the work. Now she pulled out her cell phone to see if she had any texts, but there was no signal. She looked around for some kind of hill where she might get better reception, but the land was flat and low to the water. She felt a pang for her friends back home. Mrs. Larson rested her hands on her hips, too, and stared around at the yard. "It'll take some work, but it really is beautiful. Don't you think, Maggles?" Truthfully, the property was beautiful, in a shabby, romantic, old-fashioned way. The house, a yellowing, formerly white Victorian, looked ancient and barely livable. "Built in 1886, her dad had said. It slumped on a wide expanse of tall, browning late-summer grass that stretched to the shore of Lake Michigan under an expanse of endless blue sky. The grass was alive with grasshoppers twirling from one landing spot to the next, and already Maggie could hear the crickets coming awake. Crickets were a novelty. She'd only ever lived in Chicago, falling asleep to city sounds almost every night for as long as she could remember. Making the spot even more serene was the fact that the adjoining property, the one that must belong to the girl on the beach, was spectacular. You could tell where one lot ended and the other began by the deeply green manicured lawn that started at the property line. A majestic, gleaming white house stood just at the lake's edge, about 100 yards from the Larsons' new front door and partially obscured by a thin forest of pine trees. "It's great," Maggie said, giving her mom her best can-do smile. This was her permanent facial expression these days, whenever she looked at her parents. She wanted them to know that whatever problems they were dealing with right now, she wasn't going to be one of them.
"Have you seen your room?"
her dad asked, heaving his way up the stairs with a box of books in his arms, his balding head glistening in the sun. Maggie shook her head. She hadn't even gone inside yet, dropping boxes on the porch, though her parents had gone in several times already. It was her way of putting off the inevitable reality of a new home and a new life she didn't want. But now she faked excitement and followed him inside. The interior was covered with a thin layer of dust, and the floors were slightly bowed in the middle, everything wooden and antique and distressed looking. The kitchen appliances were mustard yellow, but the walls were a faded pastel, as if the 70s had vomited all over the 50s. Little artifacts from previous residents lay scattered here and there. A domino on the kitchen floor, a a coupon stuck to the refrigerator by a Mickey Mouse magnet.